looking at the wide receivers on the draft board that are available, looking at the ADP, the ECR, what have you, who is your favorite wide receiver going into the 2021 season?
Well, my favorite wide receiver at this point, it's pretty on brand if anyone knows me. At value, it's Deontay Johnson. It's got to be his ADP's actually been climbing up, which is interesting. He's been one of the most polarizing guys on Twitter. People seem to hate him, love him. Not many indifferent, but Deontay Johnson for me, I have him at wide receiver 15. He's creeped his way up in the ECR at wide receiver 20. I believe his ADP is somewhere around like 25, somewhere at the back end wide receiver 2. And the things I love with Deontay Johnson, he's just a target machine. Since the day he came in, he just does nothing but catch, well, thing receive targets. I mean, he gets open, he gets the ball thrown to him. And, you know, last year, if you take out the two games, it's tough to include games where you leave in the first snap of the play. Mm-hmm. So you take out the two games he left right away, and his adjusted PPR was about 13.4 points per game in half PPR, which was wide receiver 14 at that number, which would put him ahead of guys like Terry McLaurin, CeeDee Lamb, DJ Moore, Amari Cooper, Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, Tyler Lockett, Jerry Jeudy, and his Claypool, and his teammate Chase Claypool, all of which either go much before him or right around him. So for me, at that price and what you know you're getting, I just don't see a world where if he plays all those games, he doesn't sit there as a middling wide receiver 2, which is exactly where I have him.
I like it. So we're looking at 144 targets last year for Deontay Johnson. That lands around like 7th or 8th all together. You know, there's only a handful of dudes in front of him. But like you said, there was some time missed, a little bit of a benching there. He wasn't really necessarily involved in the first half of the season like he was in the second. So 144 targets, though, that's not going to get you to wide receiver 15 very likely, considering the way he's being used. You know, just to kind of drive this conversation a bit further, like, what's your target expectation for Deontay Johnson going into the season? Because we know he's going to have to get the targets in order to get those points, because the ADOT's low, the red zone targets aren't really there. But maybe you're projecting that a bit higher, but I just wanted to hear a little bit more about, like, why do you have him so high and where are those projections coming along with the targets?
Well, I expect him to be sitting right around double digits. If he's playing, he's going to be getting around double digit targets every single game. And if you're getting around 10 for 17 games, that's around 170. And where you said the 144 doesn't quite put you there, as I just put before, I mean, that 13.4 points per game was wide receiver 14, which is exactly where I have him. So I expect a lot of the same. I think he's out there. He just does what he does. There's nothing sexy. I think drops is a useless stat. I think if you're good enough to get the ball, I'm not worried. You look every year and all the guys leading the league in drops are the guys who demand the targets. So there's a little bit of give or take there. And I don't care even if he drops a couple. I think at the end of the benching, it's all blown out of proportion there in some big games, brought a lot of media attention. You don't see people talking about the other names like CeeDee Lambs or anything that were right around the same drop target.
Yeah, so, DK Metcalf, DJ Moore. I'm with you 100%. I think that drops aren't good. We all know that. But in the end of the day, drops are an indicator of high volume. And high volume is what we want. So, and the thing is, like 144 targets, right? You mentioned about 10 a game. That puts him at about 170 targets. You know, that would have surpassed everyone last year. But to remind everybody that there is an extra game this season. So you're safely saying that Deontay Johnson's going to be in the top 5 in targets in the league.
Yeah, correct. And he can get in the end zone. So there is weekly. It's why I have him higher than a guy like DJ Moore, is I just have a lot more confidence in that offense and what we've seen from Big Ben and what we've seen from him, for him to add touchdowns on top of those targets. I don't think they're totally empty. I think you see weeks where he's scoring. He did it last year where he's going to be getting you 20 points a game. Some weeks it's going to pop up big for you. The only thing is staying healthy. I mean, he has admittedly had a little bit of nicks and things here, is, you know, since he came into the league, and hopefully that goes away because he hasn't anything serious. But if he's out there, he's a smash. He's a smash where you're taking him.
Yeah. So I mean, last season he was safely behind Ebron, safely behind Juju, and safely behind Claypool in the red zone targets. But I think what you're saying is that the touchdowns are nice to have and they're going to happen, but that's not Deontay Johnson's bread and butter.
It's not his bread and butter. But, you know, when you're getting the ball that much, you know, touchdowns come with targets. And I have more confidence in him getting in than guys we've seen like DJ Moore or Julio Jones in the past.
All right. And then my last thing I want to ask you, because, you know, playing devil's advocate here, more than anything. The Steelers line, not good. know, there weren't necessarily very high in 12 personnel last year. And for those folks that aren't really familiar with that, that's two tight end sets. A lot of the two tight end sets, there's various reasons why you play that. Maybe you got two elite tight ends, but more times than not, it's because you need a little bit of extra blocking, right? So if you got two tight end sets, that usually means you only have two wide receivers out there. You know, is there some concern, and I've heard this in a few places, that when the Steelers are running those two tight end sets, and let's say they run it at like a 12 to 15% clip this season, 12% last year, maybe it goes up to 15%, is Deontay Johnson the guy that's on the bench with Claypool and Juju out there doing a little bit more of the blocking? We know Juju's a great blocker. Claypool, I think the jury's still out, but he is a much bigger body. So is there any concern that, like, hey, Steelers line sucks, they got to throw out Freiermuth and Ebron to block, that means Deontay Johnson's coming off the field? Any thoughts on that?
No, I don't have a concern. Right. I'll keep it real short for you. He's Ben's favorite target. The guy gets on the field, his snap percentage is high, he gets the ball. I have zero concerns. I don't have any concerns about them running the ball more, about bringing in Najee, nothing. In games last year where James Conner saw at least 15 touches in each game, Deontay Johnson scored double digits in every single one of those games but one.
All right, so you have Deontay Johnson as a high-end wide receiver two, and you can get him at a mid to low-end wide receiver two price.
And you don't have to draft the guy where I have him ranked. It's just I keep – the second he passes where I have him, I'm keeping an eye on him. I'm keeping an eye at where he's fallen, where I'm in the draft, and I almost always love where I take him.
Deontay Johnson, folks, we had to get that one out of the way. That is a favorite of Skyler here. You can find him on Twitter at the FF Buffalo. He is part of the JWB crew. In case you didn't catch the last podcast we had, the Fantasy Hot Read, we are entering a partnership with the good men over at the JWB Fantasy website and podcast. We're going to have a lot more content flowing your way this year because we have this partnership. It means we've got more people spitting out the content every single week. The Fantasy Hot Read, Dominic and myself are stoked to be working with you all this year. And do you have any like content that you're going to be putting out on a regular basis? I know you're going to be putting some stuff out all year, Skyler, but just, you know, just kind of look out for your content, or is there anything people?
Yeah, absolutely. So the JWBFantasyFootball.com website, we have articles that are coming out at least every week. And, you know, as we get into the season, we're going to have a lot more redraft kicking out. We all love Dynasty. We're Dynasty players, so we've been doing it. We're hoping to keep it going through the season. At least one Dynasty Digest show that we do per week with me and Wyatt, at WyattB_FF on Twitter. So we're really excited for that, and we're hoping to add a couple little more things in during the season, some start-sit stuff, some waiver wire heroes type stuff. So look forward to it.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much for that little tidbit. Let's move along. So we're going to be talking wide receiver buys, wide receiver fades, in case you didn't catch the memo for this pod. If you want to hear about the quarterbacks that Dominic went over, check out the podcast we dropped last week. But this podcast focusing on the wide receivers. Let's chug along. Let's give me one more wide receiver that you're excited about. Obviously, Deontay is the cream of the crop here for you. But who's another guy that you're pretty safe drafting over ADP that is one of your guys?
Yeah, so this guy, I've been getting him everywhere I can. Where I have him ranked, he's there almost every single time. I'm going to talk about Brandon Cooks. I don't have his redraft ADP right in front of me. I believe last time I looked, it was at wide receiver 41. Correct. I was actually 40, tagged
40 today.
I was tagged recently in a tweet that said if you had to put your life on the line, what wide receiver outside the top 40 is going to finish top 24? And there was like 100 comments I saw. I was the only person to put Brandon Cooks. Blows my mind. I can say that with absolute confidence. I have a wide receiver 26. You know, the guy just, what more does he have to do to be respected? Five out of the last six seasons, his worst finish was wide receiver 16. The guy just puts 1,000-yard seasons like it's absolutely nothing.
It's like Mike Evans, baby. It's just like Mike Evans without the many touchdowns.
Without the touchdowns, absolutely. And a couple more concussions. I mean, my only concern is if he does hit his head a little hard, it could not be good for him because he's had quite a few. But in Houston, he's the only guy left. You know, last year after Fuller went out, he saw just about 28% of the team target shares, and that was over 10 targets per game. Now, even if you expect that to go down based on Tyrod coming to what we're used to from Tyrod in the three seasons he had as a starter with Buffalo, that would come down to about 7.5 targets per game. And if you're telling me a wide receiver 40, I'm getting at a guy who's going to see 7 or 8 targets every single game, give it to me. He's leaps and bounds above any other player on that team. And he might still be around where we saw at the end of last year, because that Houston team is bad. One thing Tyrod had in Buffalo was a good defense and really needed to game manage. And if Tyrod's in there playing, or whoever the hell is playing in there for Houston, they're going to be behind in these football games. They're going to have to throw the ball. And the best option they have to catch it is Brandon Cooks. He's an absolute smash where he's going in these drafts. I would advise anyone to take him where he can. That 7.5 targets per game would put you at about 120 for the season. That's right at that back end wide receiver too. I think if he's healthy, he's playing, which he plays 14, 15, 16 games every year, it's a lock.
Yeah, I'm with you on Cooks. The wide receiver 40 ADP, I expect to rise a little bit because Watson reporting camp. That's going to be a piece. I think that might raise it a little bit. I think a lot of people, the reason that ADP is depressed down there is because everyone's like, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Davis Mills? Is it going to be Tyrod Taylor? Like, nothing is really looking that sexy. We all know Houston Texans are one of the worst, if not the worst, teams in the NFL going into the 2021 season. So that's a reason for the ADP. But at the same time, like, Watson just reported, like, everyone likes to pretend like we know what's going on with Watson. Let's not go on a Watson tangent here. But at the end of the day, like, he reported to camp, he might play. And if Watson plays, Cooks is a top 20 wide receiver, locked. He's absolutely locked into the top 20 if Watson decides to play. I mean, he was wide receiver, I think, 16 last year, and that was with Fuller for the majority of the time. So there's no reason to think that Cooks even has top 15 upside. You know, like, the upside for a wide receiver at ADP 40, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I'm 100% with you on this one. Brandon Cooks, constantly disrespected. The value's there. Again, I expect that ADP to rise a bit. But even if it gets to, you know, wide receiver 30, wide receiver 28, I still see that as a value. What about yourself?
I have no arguments there. I'm still operating under the impression that we will not see Deshaun Watson in 2021. I can't disagree with anything you said. Wide receiver 16 was his worst finish in those five of those six seasons that I talked about. Mm-hmm. And that was missing one game, which he never does, really. And half of the season, well, almost three quarters of the season with Will Fuller. So absolutely.
All right. Let's move along. I want to get a little something off my chest here, and I want to get your opinion on it. So this is coming down to the Jaguars wide receivers for me. Not a big surprise for you, Skyler, but for the listeners, the Jaguars had they were passing the most last year in terms of, like, pass to rush ratio. The Jags were the most pass happy team in the NFL. In terms of how much they decided to pass. That's probably going to change a little bit, but at the same time, I don't expect it to change all that much. I still have the Jaguars expect to be more lean on the pass more than not, especially considering the running back that they drafted in the first round, Travis Etienne. They've talked about him being wide receiver two as well. So This comes down to DJ Chark and Marvin Jones. My guy is Marvin Jones. Obviously, a little bit of a homer pick here. The folks that are listening know that I'm a Detroit Lions fan, but here's what I have to say. Marvin Jones is going to a new team, wide receiver on a new team. Usually not the best thing, but, you know, let's look at it, you know, like, in reality. Like, it's pretty much a new team for even DJ Chark or Laviska Shenault. It is a new quarterback. It is a new coach. It is a new offensive coordinator. It is a new system that they all have to learn. But guess what? Marvin Jones doesn't necessarily have to learn it because the OC – is Daryl Bevel. He was the offensive coordinator in Detroit. That is a system that he already knows. I personally have Marvin Jones ranked above DJ Chark in my redraft rankings, only by four spots. But what that means is I'm 100% fading DJ Chark. DJ Chark has not had a back-to-back top 30 week since the beginning when he broke out in 2019. Right. And you can blame that on a bunch of different things in 2020, and that's fair. He's just not a very consistent guy. But the thing is he's going 4 to 5 rounds earlier than Marvin Jones. And if you paid attention to the years in the past, Marvin Jones's ADP, he's consistently disrespected. Right now he's looking at the ADP of 54. I think he has a really, really good chance in finishing as a mid-level, high-range wide receiver 3, a guy that you want to put in your flex spot almost every single week. I think he is a deep threat, and more importantly, he is an excellent red zone target as well. I expect Trevor Lawrence and him to hit it off right off the bat. He's a veteran wide receiver. He knows what he's doing. He knows the system. And the fact that you can get him at wide receiver 54, like, I wouldn't say it's free, but that's borderline free in your drafts. And I personally think that Marvin Jones is a lock for a top 36 wide receiver season. And he's just going way too cheap for me. And then on the other side of things, I'm completely fading DJ Chark because they're kind of similar wide receivers. I wouldn't say that DJ Chark is necessarily as much of a red zone threat as Marvin Jones is, but they're both the deep threats. You know, there's going to be some situations when DJ Chark pops off, but at the end of the day, it comes down to cost. It comes down to ADP. And for me, Marvin Jones is an absolute smash as ADP, and DJ Chark is an absolute fade as ADP. Your thoughts, Skyler?
Yeah. With Marvin Jones, he's a player that it's very tough for me because I do like him a lot, but I've always struggled to have him on my teams. I hate to throw out and say this guy's a best ball player, but if you told me to name one player out there who I'd every year I say is a best ball player, it's Marvin Jones. I just feel like I play him, nothing. I don't play him. He scores like 12 touchdowns in one game. Like with Marvin Jones, I would agree at his current price. You know, it's so late. I am also fading DJ Chark completely on the person of Marvin Jones being an addition to the team because I do view them relatively similar, just like you. I was kind of in on the Chark tank last year because I thought he was the only option. I thought they were going to have to sling the ball a ton with Minshew there. Obviously, everything fell apart. The team totally tanked. They didn't want to see that level of production, and I'm not sure that they're that invested into DJ Chark as well because his contract expires this year. They brought in – they might bring in veterans or extend guys like Marvin Jones in the future. They drafted Laviska Shenault. So they're just definitely looking at other options or uses. As far as for the Jaguar receivers, if I have a thinner league where you have two wide receivers and a flex, you know, I'm of that team probably leaning more towards Shenault in that later wide receiver three value because I feel more confident him giving me 10 points every single week. But if I have a league where you're starting three wide receivers and two flexes, then it's Marvin Jones every single week. You throw him in one of your flexes. If he doesn't have a week where he puts up all too much, it doesn't really hurt you because you have so many other players you're starting. But if he comes in and scores those touchdowns as a big week, he could win you your week. So I love Marvin Jones in a little bit of deeper leagues, but I know a lot of our listeners here that might be in more the Yahoo default or the ESPN default that plays with two wide receivers and one flex, in which case I'm probably not looking at Marvin Jones or DJ Chark at all. It's unfortunate for DJ Chark because I love him. I think he's a decent player, but for a lot of reasons, between injuries, the inconsistency, the team not being behind him, them bringing in other receivers, and me saying if it's a deep team, I prefer Marvin Jones at price, and if it's a thin team, I prefer Laviska at price, I'm out on DJ Chark completely as well.
Fair. So the only thing I will note, not going to go too much on rebuttal with Marvin, is if you play in a full PPR league, he only had 3 weeks last year when he was under 10 points. So I know that like we're not necessarily like wanting just 10 points over wide receivers, but I think the sure. floor is there more than we think. And I think it really just comes down to his familiar. I think he has a leg up on the rest of the wide receivers knowing Darren Bubble. So, again, he's cheap enough to where it's tough to argue against it.
He's in that range with guys like Marquise Brown or Michael Gallup. I view them all kind of similar. As a later flex.
All right. Let's go into your final buy. We've talked about Cooks. We've talked about Deontay. One more wide receiver buy before we go into your fade, Skyler.
Yeah. So this one is a little more of a dart throw. He's at ECR wide receiver 40. I have him at my wide receiver 30. That's typically me betting on his talent. It is the Heisman winner. It's Devonta Smith. Looking at this Eagles team, I think he is – just the most talented player on the offense. And I have no concerns about his size. I think he's going to adjust well. And I think he's just so talented that he's just going to get up and he's going to get in there. You know, I mean, with rookies, you don't always see it right away. So he might be a guy that you might, if you get him late in your draft, you're stashing him better. You might look, somebody could drop him midseason. He is a guy that I'm keeping my eye on all season because I think he could erupt at some point in the middle. I think he could come in and light things on fire, and I think it would surprise absolutely nobody. He's just super talented, and I think he could see a ton of targets right off the bat. And wide receiver 30 to wide receiver 40 in that range is not very expensive. You know, having him as your wide receiver 4 on your team or 3 on your team, I like what it has to offer. You know, guys like him or Chase, I'm leaning more towards maybe Devonta for this year just because of the lack of competition. It might not be such a high passing volume team, but I think he's going to command a very high percentage of targets right off the bat.
I'm drafting Devonta Smith over Jamar Chase in redraft.
Just to let you know. I am as well. I think slightly higher.
I think what it comes down to is I think he's, like you said, he's got an easier path to more targets. Like, I think this all, like, not to go too off course here, but I think it's also, like, I am a T. Higgins believer, and I think that Tyler Boyd is still going to be solid. I mean, not necessarily, like, great, but I don't think it was just enough meat on the bone for Jamar Chase to, you know, really produce at what his ADP is. Because the thing is, you can get Devonta Smith a lot earlier than you can get Jamar Chase. And Devonta Smith, there's Dallas Goedert, maybe. Like, I'm not Rieger. And here's the thing. I, you know, talk about stacks for a second. Stacks are super hot. People absolutely love their stacks. But if you're going to take the bet that Jalen Hurts is going to be good, like, take the bet with Devonta Smith. Like, because that has an opportunity to absolutely erupt. Absolutely erupt.
If Hurts has a big year, Smith's got to have a big year. Yeah. I mean, unless if there's injury for me, I don't see how those two things don't line up.
Yeah, so, I'm with you 100%. I mean, my initial projections for Devonta Smith, I thought were a bit lofty. I had him, I think, like wide receiver 20, wide receiver 19. I've adjusted a little bit since. There's been some people talk about his weight, but at the end of the day, he's an absolute baller. And something that I always like to talk about, is the shower narrative. Shout out to Adam Leviton for coining that. But like, those dudes play together. Like, Hurts played at Bama with Devonta Smith. Like, this isn't just some random guy. Like, there's something to it, I think. I don't know if there's any actual data to back that up. I just like to talk about it. But I don't know. I'm with you on Devonta Smith. I think that he's absolutely worth a shot. You know, I'm a little bit weary because I don't know if he's going to bust. But if we're talking – in Dynasty, I'm not necessarily certain. So I've been a little bit more weary in, like, committing to this guy for year after year. But if I'm going to take a one-year shot, 1 year on upside, yeah. I'm with you on Devonta Smith, man. I think he's a baller. He's shown he has what it takes to succeed in college, even though it was only really – later in his career, but we are in lockstep on Devonta Smith.
Yeah, there's not a lot of historical data there. I'm more betting on the talent and the opportunity.
With you on both accounts, that's going to do it for our buys. Myself, it's going to be Marvin Jones, Deontay Johnson, Brandon Cooks, and Devonta Smith. Time to talk about the fades. My first fade was DJ Chark, kind of coupled there with Marvin Jones. What is going to be one of your larger fades of this 2021 season?
Yeah, I'll toss out a bigger name. And, we can get through the fades a little bit quicker for people. But I want to preface by saying it's not that I have anything against these players individually. It's more usually comes down to who am I getting around their price. And if I'm ending up with zero of these players at their price, it's a fade for me. There's got to be something behind it. So to start, I'm going to bring up Mike Evans. Now, we talked about Brandon Cooks. We're like, is Mike Evans without the touchdowns? So why am I off of Mike Evans at his price, which is he's right now he's at ECR wide receiver 14. I think he's being drafted right around there. I have him at wide receiver 18. So I'm not terribly far. 13. So I'm not terribly far off, but when you're that high up, wide receiver 18, I'll end up with zero Mike Evans. And the reason for it, it's kind of where we sat when I quickly noted for Chenault is if I'm gonna take a shot at a guy that early, knowing that it's so crowded with the targets there, and like, you know, eight rounds later, I can grab Antonio Brown, who could finish as a wide receiver 3. I'm just gonna take a shot at someone else. I'm gonna stay away from that team because it can go either way. I have Godwin right next to him. I've Godwin actually right above Mike Evans simply because of the type of player he is. I think with him more healthy, I think he is much more. There's less variance for him, right? If he's scoring a touchdown, he'll be higher. We saw it 2 years ago. But if he's just catching balls, he'll be right around that high wide receiver 2, which is where we are taking Mike Evans. So I'm passing on him for safer options like that Godwin or Amari Cooper or Robert Woods especially, or even maybe a DJ Moore. They're pretty close for me. Or you
Say Cooper Kupp for me.
I'm probably taking Mike Evans over Cooper Kupp.
We'll unpack that later.
We can fight on that one. But so for those reasons, it's nothing against Mike Evans. It's more, I'll go safe in that spot and my wide receiver 2, go a little more upside wide receiver 1, and I'll target Antonio Brown later.
Yep. I think that if you're looking at Mike Evans as your wide receiver 1, you're in some trouble. I think he's fine as your wide receiver 2. I mean, I just to kind of echo what you said, like I would take CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper above him without question. I actually personally have Tyler Lockett ahead of Mike Evans in this very moment, just kind of more of a hot take there, I guess, for some people.
Sure.
But, it's tough to argue considering the, there's so many quality targets in the Buccaneers. And you talk about Antonio Brown, like he didn't really have a full season to, learn the system, work with Tom Brady. Like, I'm with you, man. It's just tough for me to see him churning out a top 12, I guess top 13 season in this regard, unless there's just some wild touchdowns that come his way, which is possible, which is why he's ranked that high. But
yeah,
I don't have him as low as you, but I definitely have him below ADP. Give me another fade, man.
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of put my last two fades we talk about here. I'm going to kind of tie them in together because my reasoning for fading them both is kind of intertwined. I'm going to do a quick shout out to late round QB, JJ Zacharyson's pod. A couple weeks ago, he hit on rookie quarterbacks and what that entails, what we can expect from teams with rookie quarterbacks. And his big finding from multiple studies and looking into a couple colleagues who did similar work was that rookie quarterbacks tend to hone in on one guy. And you might have one guy finish around that wide receiver one or tight end one. And after that, usually no one else within the top 36. It's very rare that you see rookie quarterbacks supplying multiple options that are within top 24 at their positions. So that being said, I'm fading Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, which is tough because I love Deebo. He's fantasy footballs. He's a man. You know, he runs hard. He's fun to watch. And Brandon Ayuk is freaking talented. I think he's a better wide receiver than Diontae Johnson. If you flip-flop them, I might think differently. I'm bringing very similarly. They're both, you know, reception, perception. We're just dropping all over the place names of with Matt Harmon. He is incredibly talented. It's just an unfortunate circumstance for me. If all three of those guys are out there, Ayuk, Deebo, and I'm alluding to George Kittle, who I believe is the primary target there for
wide receiver one,
the real wide receiver one for what I project to be a rookie quarterback playing most that season, a run heavy rookie quarterback. So I expect the volume to be low, and that gives me very little confidence, both Deebo and Ayuk at their price, which is, you know, Ayuk is right at that wide receiver 2-3 ish territory, mm-hmm. and Deebo at that wide receiver 3-4 territory. And in those spots for Ayuk, I had it in a Scott Fishbowl. I wanted Chase Claypool. I ended up having to settle, was a little tilted about it for OBJ. But when I'm in that range, that wide receiver like 20 to 30 range, I just like the upside of an OBJ or Chase Claypool. Or you can settle on other second year guys like T. Higgins or Jerry Jeudy, mm-hmm. or take a shot around later on a guy like we talked about with Devonta Smith or Jamar Chase. I just don't love Ayuk at his price. People are banking on what he did last year where he was the only guy. And I think if you're in on Kittle, you can't be in on these other two. And if you're in on one of these guys, I don't think you can be on Kittle. So you got to pick a lane. And I'm big on logical consistencies. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to have Kittle as my tight end three and project that he's going to be the lead target there, I have to fade Deebo and Ayuk. How do you feel about this two guys? I know Deebo is a personal favorite of yours.
Yeah. I think, you know, Dynasty assets, I like them a lot more. Redraft, I think I'm with you. I'm more okay taking a stab at Deebo at ADP. At ADP, I think it's 34. You know, I think he plays a much different game than Kittle. I think, if you look at, like, his ADOT, it's extremely low. He's going to be getting some rushes. They like to use him all over the field in different formations. So, you know, I feel good about Deebo hitting that, like, wide receiver 34 value. But Ayuk, like, is as talented as he is, like, you know, and he blew it up last year, right? But, like, what had to happen for him to do that? Kittle
everything
had right. to be hurt. Like,
yeah,
it's and you know, if you're, I'm not the kind of guy to like bet on injury. And if they're like, oh, like these guys can't stay healthy, and Ayuk will, like, feel free, absolutely. And Ayuk at his ADP, but like, that's just not the route that I go. So, you know, I'm with you. Like, a full healthy season of Kittle does not spell well for Ayuk, in my opinion.
Deebo's okay if he's your wide receiver 3-4. It's just I've passed on him every single time, which, as I said, it's got to make him a fade at that price, because I've looked at, you know, we said rookie quarterbacks hone in on one guy. If that guy's Corey Davis for Zach Wilson there in Jersey, I prefer Corey Davis, who goes in that kind of that same range. And I'm more likely to take a shot on a guy like Pittman, see if he takes that leap, see if he jumps in right in that range. We're talking 3-4, the upside, if I do hit on a Pittman. And if I'm going to play it safe, which is, I think, what you're doing with Deebo, I'm going for Antonio Brown, which is what we said earlier. So he's the guy I'm taking in that spot.
And then for my final fade here to close things out here, you know, I think it might be a little hot. I haven't really been as public with this take, but I've been sitting on it for a bit, really stewing on it, thinking about, like, you know, does this make sense? And as I've been doing, like, best ball drafts, which aren't, you know, the perfect indicator for how you will react and redraft, but I think, you know, coming from, like, Dynasty, it's much closer. It's like, I have not been taking shots on Kenny Galladay. Kenny Galladay is a very good wide receiver. I really like the guy, you know, and he's not incredibly expensive. Right now, the ADP is wide receiver 23, but I am of the side that he is not an alpha wide receiver. And I think what it really comes down to is as I dive deep in my projections and I try to really figure out, like, what does this Giants team look like? And I think, A, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in Daniel Jones as a passer. I think he's going to be an okay fantasy asset because there is going to be some rushing there. There is some rushing upside. And I think if you're going to take a late stab at a quarterback, it's okay. But, like, as a passer, there's some stats out there that talk about him being a good deep ball thrower. Like, that's fine and all. But at the end of the day, like, I don't think he's that great. And I think that people are slightly sleeping on Ingram. Like, my projections, my rank have Evan Ingram a bit higher than ADP or ECR. And Sterling Shepard, I think he is a great wide receiver too. Not like wide receiver two in terms of fantasy, but wide receiver two in terms of, like, on a team. Mm-hmm. Not a Kadarius Toney guy. But clearly with the draft capital, they've made it very clear that he's going to be involved in some capacity.
And they took a shot on Ross for that same role if it's not Tony.
And my thing is, it's just like Galladay, you know, he's never commanded an alpha target share. And he had it, and there was multiple opportunities for him to do so with Stafford. So now you're going to a situation where there's less targets to go around. It's much crowded. More crowded pass room. I didn't even mention Saquon. Like, hopefully he's healthy, comes back. He's getting 80 targets. He's getting 89 targets at least. And there's just a lot of quality places for that ball. And, like, I think Galladay is primed to disappoint. People are going to be taking him as their wide receiver too. And I think it's going to be up and down for him. And I think there's going to be some weeks when he's going to absolutely disappoint you. And there's going to be some good weeks too. But he's just a guy at wide receiver 23 that I have not even sniffed.
Yeah, I'll keep it short for Kenny Galladay. Basically, I'm just disappointed with where he went because I love Kenny Galladay. I just don't love him where he is. We talked about logical consistencies. If I don't think Daniel Jones is anything special and that he won't be the starter after this year because it will be more of the same from him. He had almost identical seasons. In his last 2 years, the only thing that dropped off was touchdowns, which, guess what, Kenny Galladay is all touchdown upside. I don't love that partnership. If Kenny Galladay isn't scoring touchdowns, then he's not the wide receiver where you're drafting him. And Daniel Jones threw like 11 touchdowns last year. So unless every single one of those goes to Kenny Galladay, you're going to be disappointed. You're setting yourself up to be disappointed. And I'm already disappointed just thinking about it like that, because I would love to see Kenny Galladay eat. You're right. He's not maybe that alpha personality, but I do like him on your football team because he's kind of a guy who goes in there and does his job. He doesn't complain. You don't hear it as much. Guys like him or Amari Cooper get a lot of crap for not necessarily being this alpha personality, but I think they just go in there and do their job. I don't really care. You're right. He doesn't command a high volume, and if they're not scoring touchdowns, he's going to disappoint. So it's a lot. There's a lot going on, a lot of question marks in the other team in Jersey. So I'm also a little down on Kenny Galladay versus where I would like to be and where other people are drafting him.
Awesome. So that's going to do it for the wide receiver show. Keep an eye out. We're going to be rolling out some running back stuff, some tight end stuff as we lead up into the 2021 season. Then, of course, folks, we're going to be dropping our weekly preview as we always have, the recap as we always have. There might even be some opportunity to get a couple more pods in there, so keep an eye out for that as well. Real quick, Skylar, again, where can they find you on Twitter, and where can they find your work?
Yeah, Twitter is at TheFFBuffalo, and you can find work on jwbfantasyfootball.com. If you go on YouTube and look up the JWB Fantasy Football channel, you can find some fantasy outreach stuff potentially during the year. You can find that on the website as well. We're trying to hit up to 100 subscribers so that way we can get the custom URL and just continue to keep stuff rolling there. Maybe make a lot of changes. We've been having a little fun with our thumbnails recently. So please come check it out. Always love feedback and interact with all of us on Twitter. We'll get back to you.
Please go to the YouTube channel JWB Fantasy and subscribe. It's going to be very helpful for us. You'll likely find this content as always on the podcast feed as you always have, but likely going to be in the YouTube as well. So make sure you go out there and subscribe. You can find myself on Twitter at FFTylerO. That's all we have today, folks. Don't forget, tell somebody you love them. Later.